Welcome back to this second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians. All while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
Hi there. Good morning. Happy New Year. We get to say that for another week or so. It's January, and we are live in the studio. I'm Lynette, along with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, taking your phone calls today. And John is in Seattle, and he has a question about the Galleri test. Hi, John. Welcome.
Hello, John.
Good morning. So I want you to know up front, I'm a one-year client of Longevity, very enthusiastic.
Okay.
I recently scheduled an appointment with Bella Medica that I had to cancel because I had an operation a week ago, no, 10 days ago, to remove basal cell carcinoma from my left cheek.
Uh-huh.
And I was referred to apparently a good dermatologist practicing in Kirkland from my holistic dentist who looked at the lesion on my face and said, well, you need to somebody else's help. And when they were doing the surgery on me, I was awake. They just numbed my cheek and cut it out. I got to thinking, I had taken the Galleri test, and I asked him if he knew anything about it. I was disappointed that he didn't, but he said that my lesion was caused by sun damage in probably many years ago. I'm not in the sun much now at my age, but I've had some severe sunburns in my younger years.
Sure.
So I couldn't explain to him very well the reason why I had this cancer in my cheek that he had removed.
And the Galleri test didn't pick it up.
I was wondering if you could do a better job of explanation, because I'm going to seem to have my stitches removed on Tuesday.
Okay.
Tuesday. Why the Galleri test didn't pick up this basal cell carcinoma. And my test came back clear, no cancer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I did take that test one year ago, the Galleri test.
Uh-huh.
So I was wondering, could I have developed the basal cell carcinoma since the Galleri test?
Probably not.
He implied, He didn't think so, but he wasn't familiar with the test. So I'm taking him. I did deliver your book to him, Dr. Mixon.
No. That's great.
He hadn't heard of you, and he was curious.
Okay.
Oh, very good.
Yeah. But anyway, so that was my question. I'm not certain. Okay. Take it from there, please.
Okay. There are some cancers that the Galleri test is really, really good at, and there are others it is not as good at. And basal cell carcinoma is not one of those that is high on its pickup list. So it's kind of interesting, that the Galleri test is very good at most of the cancers that kill us, and not so good at most of the cancers like the basal cell carcinomas that are easy to find and almost never kill us.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the good part. Okay.
that's what he said as well.
Yeah. Yeah, basal cell carcinoma, I have never yet come across a fatality from a basal cell. Squamous cells, yes. Malignant melanomas, absolutely.
Yeah.
But basal cell carcinoma is almost never. But Galleri is just not very good at picking up that very common but not very dangerous condition.
Okay.
But for the things that are more likely to kill us, things like a pancreatic cancer and ovarian cancers and those, it's pretty darn good at finding those. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so the really dangerous ones, the Galleri test is great at finding. The piddly ones, not so good. But we don't mind it missing those.
All right. Well, thank you. That's reassuring to me, and I will deliver a Galleri brochure and a copy of my report to him on Tuesday.
Sure.
Great. There you go.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you for that, John.
Take care, sir.
Now, while we're talking about the Galleri test, in less than a month, we have that scheduled at all three of the clinics in Kirkland, Tacoma, and Linwood. This is on Saturday, February the 10th.
Yeah.
February the 10th.
It's under this because for cancer prevention, this is a cancer screening test. And as you just heard, you know, it's not as sensitive or specific for certain types of cancers, but certain fatal cancers for which there is no screening method, it is a very good test. And as Dr. Mixon mentioned on the other show earlier today, we have actually picked up some.
Mm-hmm.
We went through a spurt where everybody was negative, and then we have had some in our clinic. And then more recently, we've been clear. So we go through spurts, but the point is that there is no other blood screening test for multiple cancers available today.
Yeah, it's the best one they got.
Yeah, it's the only one on the market. It does a vast majority. In fact, I have asked them, you know, why wouldn't they do like a head and neck series or some other, so they divide it up. And their thing is they want to cast the nest wide, the net wide, and they want to catch whatever they can. And that gives them, the patient, a chance for earlier diagnosis and treatment. And so what they're trying to do is reduce the time involved between actual diagnosis and then getting to treatment. So if you present with symptoms, then, you know, it takes a while before you're compelled to go to a doctor who's suspicious about something, who'll do a specific test for something, who'll pick up a diagnosis of malignancy. This is when there's no symptoms available, there's nothing going on, you just do a screening test. That's why it's a screening test to pick up DNA changes in the blood that may indicate to a certain type of cancer. So they're not good for things like prostate cancer too.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right? But they do pick it up, but they're not good for some things, but they're very good for pancreatic and GI cancers.
Okay. Very good to know. And when you have gotten something that has popped up on a test that says this particular patient may have cancer, what is the next step that they do?
We call the patient because they will report to us immediately. We call the patient, and then we have the patient go back either to their primary care, mm-hmm. or if the patient does not have a primary care, then we do have alliances in major hospitals with geneticists, and we'll send them in there and then plug them into their hospital systems.
Okay, and they go through further testing, and they
absolutely
get treatment years before.
So what it does is it just points the direction where the cancer could be. And then it's up to the treating physician to go hunt for it. So if they find it easily, that's great. If they don't find it, then a Galleri will actually repeat the test for that patient to go looking for it again. Because sometimes they feel they pick it up before screening tests will find it.
Okay. So. And again, that date of the test coming up is Saturday, February 10th at all three of our longevity locations. Kirkland, our brand new facility in Kirkland, Tacoma, and Linwood. You do need to call and make that appointment so we can make sure we have enough staff for that. It's quite popular now that people are hearing about it and being tested for it. Here is that number you can call to get scheduled for the Galleri test. It's 866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG. You can also go to lmclinic.com and get your details there as well. All right, we've got more calls on the line. We are headed to Tacoma now. We have Jesse calling in. Hi there, Jesse. Welcome to Leading Edge Medicine.
Hello.
Hi there.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I'd like to say I heard you talking about people don't have radios anymore. But in my house, I have four radios, and I turn them on all at the same time, so if I walk around, I don't miss them.
That's so awesome.
That's hilarious.
All right.
Oh. On different stations,
you too. Don't miss yeah. a sound.
Do you have any antique radios? I collect antique radios, so I have some that are quite unique in my house. Oh. Some that are big, tall. 3 feet
I
tall.
I used to have one like that, and it yeah. stopped working.
Pretty exciting. Well, how can we help you today, Jesse?
Okay, well, I have an underlying problem that I will mention, but I had a more acute thing going on right now, is that I drink way too much. And I'm 71, and lately I keep having falls. So, about a month and a half ago, I had a bad fall where I struck the upper right side of my back,
uh-huh.
or more like the mid right side, and the rib cage was extremely sore. And now, on Wednesday, that my back had just been clearing up, but I had another fall on the left front side. And it seems even more painful than the back one. And I'm just wondering if some imaging maybe should be done.
Probably, if you're still having pain.
Well, it's been about 4 days.
Okay. Well, are you having any neurologic symptoms? Are you getting numbness or pain?
No, not except in my toes, which I already had.
Okay.
And I don't feel any neurological type pain. Feels like musculoskeletal, but I'm concerned if like an organ at the, underneath the lower part of my rib cage could have been injured also.
Well, down low in the rib cage, there's only two big things there, and that is on the right side is your liver, and the left side is the spleen. In the middle is just transverse colon and stomach. So, so not likely, because if you had damaged liver or spleen, you'd be in big trouble by now.
Yeah, since it was 4 days ago, you would have known.
Yeah. So no, I think it probably is primarily musculoskeletal. The big underlying problem is obviously excess alcohol use.
Yeah.
And that does impair both brain function, balance, coordination. All of those things are damaged by alcohol.
Not to mention poor judgment sometimes.
Yes, that's true too, but.
Yeah.
I do poor judgment pretty well without the alcohol, so that's not an issue.
Dr. Mixon, we got to take a quick
yes,
break.
Yes, we do.
Jesse, will you hang on the line? And the doctors would like to talk with you some more on this. Okay? Leading Edge Medicine will continue in just a moment after this break. Stay right there. Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon here, Dr. Samira Umat. I'm Lynette, and we are taking your phone calls today at 206-421-5757. Jesse from Tacoma, thank you so much for holding on, talking about falling and what's going on with you.
So, Jesse, you know, my concern, I think you're right. You do have musculoskeletal injury. If you had fractured something, you would have known by now it'd be swollen since it happened 4 days ago. And you probably would have difficulty weight-bearing as well. But I still think that you should go in and be seen, maybe get some imaging and some basic labs done, because you got to stop the bleed. You got to stop the recurrent falls. And my suggestion would be thinking about going to physical therapy as well to do some strengthening and stretching exercises and learn strategies to prevent falls. So I think that it would be wise to go in and be checked out.
Did you hear that, Jesse? Are you still with us? Okay, we may not have Jesse there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to our next caller. In Puyallup, we have John calling in. Hi there, John. Thanks for waiting. Good morning.
You're welcome. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Wonderful.
I'm having trouble with, I'm having trouble with diabetes. I've had diabetes for about 15 years. I also have polycythemia. And I went through a paleo plan. I got up to about 249 pounds. I thought 250 is too much. So I went on paleo, lost 50 pounds, and was off insulin for about 2 years. And all of a sudden, within the last 6 months or so, maybe a year, as soon as I get up, I've got a continuous glucose monitor, and I can be in the zone between 100 and 150 all night long. And as soon as I get up, my blood sugar skyrockets. Yesterday, it went up to about 297. I am on metformin, 100 milligrams twice a day. I'm on glipizide. I've gone through numerous tests, thyroid, pancreas, liver, kidneys, all that stuff. And we really can't seem to come up with an answer. Any thoughts?
Well, a couple of thoughts. First, are you sure it's only 100 milligrams of metformin twice a day? That's pretty piddly.
This must be 500.
Yeah, 250, 500, 1,000.
I don't have it with me.
Or it could be 1,000, too, 1,000 twice daily.
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe 1,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's, which would be 1 gram.
Yeah.
So,
right,
maybe.
Okay. I think you're right, 1,000.
Okay. Yeah, because if you're a long-term diabetic, I'd be shocked if they had you on such a tiny dose. But if that was true, I'd say raise the dose, for goodness sakes.
Yeah.
Sure, yeah.
You know, there is something we call the dawn effect, that when people are sleeping, their sugars will come down, and then about the time they get up, the sugars rise rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is because when it's time to get up, your body is trying to wake you up and ramp up, and so your cortisol levels suddenly rise, and that rise in cortisol in your bloodstream triggers a rise in blood sugar.
Yeah.
But
right.
It sounds like this significant rise is a recent phenomenon, not something you've been doing. Is that true?
Well, yeah, probably within the last year. I get a huge bump in the morning, and I've looked into dawn effect, and I'm rising sometimes 100 points in the morning. And I would think dawn effect might be 10, 20, maybe 30 points at the most.
That's what I would expect, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
With the polycythemia, my iron levels are a little bit off, not too bad, but I'm trying to get a phlebotomy. And my theory behind that is it's like an oil change. You get the old sticky, goopy crap out of your system and let your body develop new red blood cells that are clean.
Well,
any opinion on that?
Well, kinda, sorta. Normally, we set up a series of phlebotomies. These are just blood draws. You go in and they take out a unit or two of blood, and that drops your hematocrit, gets rid of the current blood. Because you have an iron storage deficiency or excess, you immediately make more, but this is the best way we've got to pull that extra iron out of your system. So,
sure.
Yeah, so yes, by all means, go ahead and get the phlebotomies as often as you want or as often as you need. Most people, three or four times a year is enough, but you know, some need more, some need less.
I did have a comment from the hematologist. My blood was up over 50, which I think is the line where you can get one or not. I think I was up to 52. And he says, actually, I think phlebotomies are hurting you more than helping you. And I didn't follow up on that, but he wouldn't give me a phlebotomy. I don't know.
I don't know either.
Yeah, because that's pretty much the standard therapy all over the planet for hemochromocytosis.
Sure. But I'm appreciative. I just wanted to hear your thoughts and call in for once.
Well, good. I'm glad you did.
Oh, I'm glad you did. What I do notice that with blood donations, frequently patients do drop their ferritin levels, and we accommodate for that. We give them ferritin replacement. We give them iron supplements, and then their levels go back up again. That's one thing I do see with frequent phlebotomies.
Yeah.
So I don't know if there's anything else that he's thinking about that.
Yeah, this is one of those situations where we don't know what the doctor was thinking. What he said sounds a bit unusual. He may have a really great reason for thinking it. I just don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Sure.
I'm trying to tie it in with the diabetes, but I'm failing.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. So I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you for the call, sir. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Thank you for that, John. All right, we're going to head to Covington now. We have Robert on the line. Good morning, Robert. Welcome to Leading Edge Medicine.
Good morning, everyone. I've spoken with Dr. Jerry before. And anyway, I wanted to comment on the skin cancer issues and query whether you know of the topical Curaderm product that contains an organic anti-cancer and cancer curative agent. It's eggplant extract.
Yes, that's all it is. Eggplant extract is out of Florida, or not out of Florida, out of Australia.
Australia, yeah.
And yes, I've had patients who use that for 20 plus years.
Yeah.
It
works a little slow, but it works. Yeah.
And my understanding is it addresses and attacks only the cancerous cells and not the viable live.
That's what it's supposed to do. Yes. Yeah. That was the case. Yeah. We had a more effective option for a while.
Inguinal
Mebutate, which was a prescription drug that you only had to apply once, and the inflammatory reaction kicked up and the cancer just withered up and died. Mm. But they took that one off the market because it was too strong. They said
it worked
really well, and you didn't need $1,000 from surgery. Yes.
Right.
But it was almost never used, and I think it was almost never used because, well, you have a choice.
Just don't make their money.
Precisely.
Right.
You know. They didn't like it at all, I guess.
So, yeah, I've got a lesion.
That's my greatest objection with allopathic medicine in general.
Yeah.
It's simply that it's so financially driven.
Too much of it is.
It's not about curing the patient.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although,
that,
you know, as
that
a...
That answers...
As a guy who owns clinics and does allopathic medicine, I have to tell you, profit good, poverty and bankruptcy bad. So, you know. It's medicine, I have long said, is a weird hybrid between a priestly calling and a business. And if you get too wrapped up in the business, you forget your calling. But if you get too wrapped up in the calling, you go broke and out of business. And then you can't help anybody. Mm. And so the trick is to find the appropriate balance for that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we doctors used to have that balance prior to about 1980 or so. Part of the physician's code of ethics from the AMA was that we would only charge patients what they could afford to pay. And it was a standard that you charged rich patients more than poor patients. and you gave away a lot of your services to the poor. And that was the medicine that was I decided to go into medicine under. But then insurance came in and Medicare came in. Mm. And what happened is then Medicare especially, but all the insurance companies, they wanted a price. They did not want a price for Mr. A and a different price for Mr. B and yet a third price for Mr. C based on their ability to pay. They wanted to know, what is your charge for this? Period. Flat. No exceptions. Mm. And then when Medicare came in to the doctor's office, they said, we are only going to pay 70 to 80% of your, what we decide is your usual and customary charge. And so they would not allow you. And so the AMA went back and revised the standard of ethics. And we are no longer, as an ethical consideration, allowed to charge different patients different amounts based on what they can afford.
Hmm. Wow.
That's called their financial equity.
Yep. Well, again, it was driven by the insurance companies and
right.
the government. And so the government has decided they want the best price of anybody. So they've now morphed that to whatever your lowest paid charge is. They'll pay 70% of that.
Mm.
Mm. And so
quality care suffers.
Yes. And so the rule is, if I give away my services, my new lowest charge is nothing.
Oh. And they'll charge 70%.
They'll pay me 70% of nothing.
Oh, boy.
Which is still nothing.
Yeah. Yes.
And so.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. And so basically, having government involvement in medicine and insurance-driven medicine has required that doctors, in order to survive, start ratcheting their base prices up and up and up, because the higher we make them, they're going to keep ratcheting what they pay us down and down and down. It's a never-ending battle between the payers and the providers. But yes.
Can I ask one more question after the break?
After the break, the music says we got to go, but I'll be back.
Yep, you stay right there, Robert, and we will be back with more Leading Edge Medicine. Pat will take your call in a little bit, and Jason, you hang on as well. If you have a question for the doctors, here's that number to call, 206-421-5757. We'll be back with more Leading Edge Medicine in just a moment.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends. And I can't wait to get on the road again.
On the air again, it's Leading Edge Medicine. Hi there, I'm Lynette. Along with Dr. Samira Umat, we have Dr. Jerry Mixon and some callers on the line.
Can we make a version of this song, On the Air Again?
On the Air Again. I'll talk with producer Mark on that, so let's see if we can do that. Robert, you had one more question. What was that?
Yes, it was about the hemosiderin staining and bleaching. Are there over-the-counter agents that will do satisfactorily, or do you have to rely specifically on the prescription meds for something like that, or prescription topicals? I had a skin infection that found that it was bacterial, and I used a topical that worked really good. Once I actually used a prescription cephalexin mixed with essentially a carrier and DMSO. And it wiped it out in a short order compared to taking it orally. And then I had some scabs and staining from it that has not gone away. I want to try to remediate that on my leg.
You know, you can try the Arnica, which is often sold as a, quote, bruise cream.
Mm-hmm.
It helps prevent bruising if you have a procedure done, and then it helps with them to resolve faster.
I've used Arnica before for just skin bruises. It does work, but I thought this was far deeper and more extensive.
Yeah, and this, you know, if you're looking at really extensive bruising, you just got to go to the prescription drugs.
Mm, okay. And as hemosiderin has iron there's an oxidized iron that's in it that creates the color.
That's why they're called
like the scab on a skin.
Yes, kind of. Yeah. And again, it is a staining. The iron basically stains the skin, and it makes it kind of a dark purple, almost black. And once more, that can be bleached out. You just have to use something that's got a little oomph to it. And I would suspect Arnica would not be strong enough.
Right. That's my suspicion. Okay, well, that helps. Thank you very much. And you guys
You're
have
welcome,
a great
sir.
Weekend.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you for your call, Robert. We're headed to Bremerton now. Pat is on the line. Hi there, Pat. Welcome to the show. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Hi. Yeah, I have a question on my son has lost like 25 pounds in 2 months, and he went in and got his blood work done, and everything looked good except for vitamin D was very, very low. So he's on the 50,000 units. My question, I was worried since he's a smoker and a drinker, what are some of the signs that may be pancreatic cancer?
The problem with pancreatic cancer is there usually are no signs until it is already spread widely. And then the most common sign is pain.
Hmm. Well, his mainly was very loose stools and diarrhea and not no appetite.
Yeah. Well, but he's also a drinker.
And a smoker.
Yeah, and alcohol can do this too.
He's 55.
Yeah. You know, once more, the best test we've got for pancreatic cancer is the Galleri test. You know, it's just a blood test. It's a little pricey, about $1,250, but it covers 50 different cancers, including the pancreatic cancers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the doctors do this test.
H. pylori wouldn't have those symptoms of losing weight
Helicobacter pylori can trigger ulcer disease, which indeed can cause anemia, decreased appetite, abdominal pain, loose stools. So, yes, H. pylori can do that too.
Wait, well, he's going in for an endoscopy on Wednesday, so maybe they will find something.
Yeah, his endoscopy. They're going to be looking to see what the problem is.
Endoscopy, yeah.
Yeah. So,
yeah, well, I'm hoping it's not the other one.
Well, I hope so,
okay,
too.
Okay, so, yeah. All right, so there is a blood test that could...
There is a blood test that's very good with pancreatic cancer. It screens for 50 different cancers with one blood test.
Otherwise, how do they discover it if they don't do a blood test?
People come in with pain. And in the process of working up their abdominal pain, they'll often get an MRI or a CT that shows a mass in the pancreas. And
right, so that's, yeah. All right, so otherwise, I'm hoping it's H. pylori then.
Yep, yeah, that by far is the least dangerous and the most curable. That's
right.
Just antibiotics for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, I guess we'll wait to have that test done and see what they find there. All right, thank you.
You're welcome, ma'am.
Good luck.
Thank you, Pat, for your call. And that endoscopy that they would take, would that show any type of...
That looks into the stomach and the first part of the bowel.
That's not near the pancreas.
No.
Wow.
Well, the pancreas is up high, just under the diaphragm, but it's all the way in the back of the belly. Mm. The good Lord hid it in the back, so he doesn't want us to mess with it.
Aha.
Because anytime you mess with it, it gets inflamed and causes trouble.
Causes problems. All right. So at the Galleri test, which tests for pancreatic cancer and several other cancers, we've got that coming up next month, and we'll tell you more about that in just a moment. Yeah. All right. We're going to take a question from Jason from Mount Vernon and then take a break and then be back to talk about that. Hi, Jason. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Jason.
Good morning. You might recall I spoke with you last weekend about prostate condition and lack of semen in the ejaculation. One quick question that came to mind, though, when you were talking about rich man, poor man, who gets better treatment? Just if you can give a, like, the quick answer, because I'm not done with my question. Where do the ultra wealthy go, and how do they find their doctors?
The ultra wealthy go to pay for service clinics. They don't go to insurance.
No, I figured that much. But and, like, what kind of a clinic? The Mayo Clinic or?
Well, no, Mayo Clinic is again for just about everybody. Although they will often use Mayo Clinic or Cleveland Clinic for consultations.
Okay.
But boutique practices are usually advertised person to person.
Okay. All right. I was in the shower a little while ago, and I took care of myself. I actually did have some semen come out a little bit more than you. Well,
then you've been
I had some, and then followed by some blood.
Okay.
I haven't had any blood in my ejaculate for probably pretty close to 3 years. I mean, it was probably right around the COVID thing when that was happening, and it went away. But also about that same time is when I started not having regular semen flow in my ejaculation.
Okay. And so time, I know we talked about this. The music before. In the background says we've got to take a break.
Okay,
but we will address this when we get back.
Yep, Jason, stay right there. Leading Edge Medicine will be back in just a moment. Leading Edge Medicine. I'm Lynette here with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat in the studio. We are live and taking your phone calls. We have two on the line. We'll try to get to both of those calls. Jason, let's finish up with your call first.
Okay, Jason. I'm trying to remember the details of our previous conversation because I had a couple of testicular calls last week. One of them also was talking about he had a third mass in the scrotum, almost the size of the testicle?
That's me.
Okay, that is you. All right.
Good. Okay.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. I can't help the fact that this has got to be related to the, that extra testicular mass. Have you gone in and had that ultrasounded?
I have had it ultrasounded. I'm actually on my chart looking... and I have another ultrasound scheduled coming up. The thing that was weird is, here's my PSA, November of 21, 2.7, March of 22, 3.3, February of 23, 3.6, July of 23, 4.3, and last week at 4.6. Looking at WebMD as to some of the reasons or whatnot, for what I'm addressing, it also says a high PSA count. However, other reading that I've done too, a high PSA doesn't necessarily mean, from what I've read, that there's a serious prostate thing going on. Although, I mean, I'm not a
you can say the word. It's prostate cancer is what we're worried about. Yes, and
right.
Prostatitis, infections, and inflammatory processes in the prostate are far more common than prostate cancer. Okay, so I mean, if I had to make a guesstimate, there's probably five or six inflammatory prostates for every prostate cancer. But prostate cancer is the one you don't want to miss. And if it turns out to be a prostate cancer, a PSA that doubles in less than 1 year is a very worrisome sign.
I went from 2.7 in November of 21 to 4.6 in January 9th of this year.
Yeah, but that was...
So it's been a gradual uptrend, looking at the graph.
Yes, so something is increasing the metabolic rate within the prostate or rapidly increasing the size of the prostate. Okay, and...
Okay.
I have never seen it, but I can conceptualize a metastasis from the prostate into the scrotum, where you've actually got prostatic cancer growing within the scrotum. That's why if they do an ultrasound and it is cystic, I'm not so worried. But if it's not a cyst, if it's a solid lesion, you need to get somebody in there and get a piece of that right away.
Okay. Okay. Let's see. I think it was 2 years ago, or pretty close to that, I had a rectal ultrasound done, and I guess that was to determine the size of my prostate and that
and
other condition that I have, which is identified as a high neck bar of the medium lobe.
Right.
Which I don't know. People say it's a birth defect.
It is, and it makes the surgery to do a prostatectomy more difficult. You know, they're looking at more aggressive sort of surgical interventions, if that's what it is. But
so prostatectomy is removal of prostate?
Removal of the prostate, yeah. Prostatectomy.
Okay. Well, I don't want that to happen unless, you know, something.
Yeah, unless you really need to. But
right.
You know, if you got a big cancer in there, then you need to.
Yeah.
But the question is, you know, if it's not a big one, then, you know, you can often remove just parts of the prostate, too. They now have focal prostatectomies.
Proton therapy is what some of the other things that I've heard. Proton beam therapy.
Proton beam therapies or, you know, directed laser therapies. I mean, there's a variety of ways to get at small tumors that are low in the prostate.
Can you spell that blood test that costs $1,200?
Oh, the Galleri test?
The Galleri test, yes.
Well, it's called a Galleri test, but you mentioned something specific before you mentioned Galleri.
Oh, maybe the company that does the Galleri test?
Oh, well, I thought it started with a P.
Yeah, a P. No. That was a whole different way of ablating the prostate. That was
prostate
the
prostate artery and artery.
Yeah.
No. It was two callers ago, the gentleman that you held over from the break, because he had one more question. But before the holdover and the break, he was talking about having a blood test done. I thought you had a specific word for it, not just the broad scope of Galleri. So, if it is Galleri,
yeah, the
Galleri,
pancreatic
whatever,
cancer. Oh, yeah, we did say that the Galleri test would have.
Yeah, but that was
so
for
the Galleri test.
Pancreatic
screen
cancer.
For prostate cancer.
It's not as good for prostate cancer. It picks up about 40% of the prostate cancers.
And then, what is the recommended procedure to screen for prostate cancer?
Well, what we normally do is if we see somebody with a rising PSA, first thing we do is a 4 kinase test. The 4K test looks at 4 different prostatic kinases, and these kinases will give us a statistical probability of an aggressive prostate cancer. If your 4K is high, then we usually send them for an ultrasound of the prostate. And the ultrasound of the prostate can find little nodules of prostate cancer as small as about 2 millimeters.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really good at localizing where a lesion might be. The next step would be a biopsy of the lesion. But when you've got a testicle-sized lesion in your scrotum, that's a pretty obvious thing to go get a piece of.
Well, it started out being really small after my vasectomy 35 years ago, and it's just progressively gotten bigger over the years.
Yeah, and if it's a cyst, I'm not worried about it.
Yeah,
but if it's a solid mass, that's a different issue.
Well, it's I don't know. I mean, I can move it around. It feels like a testicle. It's not rock hard.
Well, that part is good because many cancers are rock hard, but not all.
No.
But nevertheless, the ultrasound is your first clue. If it was a cyst, it should have said a cystic structure of such and such dimensions. If your ultrasound report does not report a cystic structure, it reports some sort of structure.
Well, clearly it saw it. I could scroll, but we're probably going to not enough time here to keep talking. I'm on my test results. I should have had that pulled up right away. So the test you're talking about, is that something that would be scheduled through your Linwood?
The 4K? Yeah, 4K test. Any urologist can run it. We can run it. We've got the kit. It's just a urine study.
Okay.
Yeah, your urologist will probably have it covered through insurance for you, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we can do it, but you got to pay out of pocket.
Yeah.
Urologists can get it done under your insurance, and so we usually send them to the urologist if they have one.
Okay. Well, I do. That's Swedish.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Great. Thank you again. Appreciate your help.
Take care, sir.
There you go. Thank you so much for your call, Jason. And we had one more call from Dale about a flu shot in Tacoma. I wonder if we should try to quickly answer that.
Take 2 minutes.
Yes.
Let's get it done in a hurry.
Dale, if you're still here. Okay. Oh, he's going to call us first thing next week.
Okay.
Yes. Very good. Okay. So the Galleri test is the test we've been discussing a lot on the shows today, because we are going to be doing that at all of the longevity clinics in Kirkland, our brand new facility in Tacoma and in Linwood. You do need to make an appointment for this and get it scheduled. The day that we are doing this in all three of the clinics is Saturday, February the 10th. And you can do that by calling this number, 866-86-YOUNG. That's the number. We do need to schedule you. Just let us know which clinic and we will get you there and get you on the schedule. That is also the number we have you call for our free health analysis appointment. 866-86-YOUNG, because we, like so many people that have called in today that have been patients of and are patients of longevity, we want you to be as well, so that we can help you as you are going through whatever it is health-wise and as you age. So sign up for the two tests, the blood test and the in-body test, just part of the free health analysis appointment, and you can get that scheduled by calling that number as well, 866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG. And by going on our website, which is lmclinic.com. That's lmclinic.com. Have